goodness, it is so good to see your faces again. Amen. Praise God. Like, it was great to be in Kenya, like, for real great. And I'm going to talk about that here in just a minute. But it was, it is so good to be back with all of you. Next time, everybody just has to go with us. Like, everybody. We're just, in all seriousness, I think it was the second day that we were actually there. It took us 3 days to get there. But once we were there, I was messaging back and forth with Beth, and one of the first things that I said was, we got to get the whole family here next time, like for real. It was really powerful, but it is great to be home and on the right time zone and in my own bed, and oh my goodness, so many things. But so thankful for the prayers that you have prayed for the team as we went and came back and didn't have any kind of travel issues or anything there. And so just really thankful for the way that we were able to be used of God there, and so thankful for the stories that we have to share with you now. Today what I want to do is I want to kind of sort of recap a little bit of what we did in Kenya through the media of a sermon, I suppose. And so there's some different pictures that we're going to show and that kind of stuff. I'm really excited for Wednesday, where the whole team gets to come and share their stories and their own pictures and all that kind of stuff. And so even if you're not normally here on a Wednesday night, like, get this on your calendar, like, for real. It's you're gonna really be blown away by it. It's funny too, because the more I'm talking to people about what was going on in Kenya and what we were a part of and everything, the more I'm hearing people say, "Man, I want to make sure I'm there next time." So who knows? Maybe when you get here Wednesday night, like, the Lord might press that upon you, and we can all just start our savings plan for the next time that we go, and we're all ready to go there. Before I jump into all of this here, let me just pray for a moment. Lord God, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for just the opportunity, not just to stand before your people, but to stand before you and to have the opportunity to communicate your word. God, I ask that the words of my mouth would literally be yours, that you would speak through me to all of us, including myself, and that you would just help us to hear your voice. Help us to say yes to you. Help us to just have the courage that we need to walk by faith. God, we submit ourselves before you now and ask, God, that you would do whatever it is you want to do and however it is that you want to do it, all for your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to say as well, again, before I jump into this, how awesome was that testimony earlier, right? With the pictures and all that kind of stuff. I mean, God, I want you to know, y'all, like, God really does this stuff. Like, it was so cool, and this wasn't even part of this, but I'll get to that here in a minute. I did a couple of leadership conferences while I was there, and one of the things that I started out with was I wanted to get to know the pastors and the leaders that were there, and so I asked them, I said, can you just tell me some things that you have experienced? Like, what are some things that God has shown you in how to lead people, and maybe even what are some things that you've struggled with and you want to learn more about and everything? Well, I don't know if some got lost in translation or what, but they all just began sharing testimonies of, like, healing and deliverance and all this kind of stuff. And, like, half an hour later, people were still like, yeah, well, God healed me too, and this is how he did it and everything. And I was like, wow, we started out as a leadership conference, and now we're just blessing God with the miracles that he's doing, church. I just want you to know that God is still doing miracles. Right? It's not just something that is in the Bible. It's not just something that is happening in a faraway place. Like, God is doing miracles here and now, like, through us. Like it's happening, and it is so important that we actually believe that God is able. Amen. God is able. And I just praise God for what He is doing in so many different ways. So we left out, we met up at Bush Airport at about noon on Wednesday, July the 10th. And we all got together and started going through all the processes that you have to do at the airport and everything, right? And so we flew from Houston to Frankfurt, Germany. We got there on Thursday morning. And we had a little bit of a layover, and we flew then from Frankfurt, Germany to Nairobi. We got to Nairobi that night. It was already dark outside. And we got to the airport, and things started going kind of creepy, I'm not going to lie. It was a little creepy. So we get there, and the last thing Douglas said to us before, you know, when we were talking was, when you get there, just wait for me. And then we'll all get in the van together and we'll go to the hotel where we're staying that night. And so we get there and we were just looking for a place to go sit down, right? Because we're going to wait for Douglas. He was getting there like an hour or so after us. And so we're looking for a place to go sit down. And sure enough, we see a sign, some lady holding a sign with our names on it. Like, all right, well, that's cool. Like, I've always wanted to see my name, like, somebody holding up my name there, right? Like, that was kind of cool, I'm not going to lie. But I don't know her, and she don't know me, right? And so we're like, hey, like, that's us. And she's like, oh, okay, yeah, come on. And so we go over, and we're kind of waiting there, and eventually the van pulls up. And she's on her phone and off her phone and on her phone and off her phone. And we just start loading luggage. Douglas is still not here yet, right? And they're just loading luggage. And she says to us, she said, yeah, I talked to Douglas. He said just to go on to the hotel and he'll meet you there. Okay, well, I don't know you and you don't know me. And I ain't talked to Douglas, right? And like, in all seriousness, Urbano and I were sitting in the van and we looked at each other and I said, man, this is how bad movies start right here. This is exactly, like, I've seen this movie before and it does not end well. I'm just telling you right now, it does not end well. But we went on. And so she convinced us. She talked to Douglas, so we were good. To be honest with you, it was so packed in that van. Like, unless Douglas was getting strapped on top, he wasn't making it in that van anyway. Like, there was luggage. There was no space left in that van. But we're like, all right, we're gonna go on this hotel. It's getting late. We just need to get there. We're about halfway there. We're on this 4-lane road, and all of a sudden we're thunk, 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 thunk. We've got a flat tire, right? Y'all have seen the movie too, right? You've seen this movie. There's like, we're in the middle of nowhere. I don't speak Swahili. Nobody speaks Swahili except for the person driving the van that we don't know, right? All of a sudden there's a flat tire, right? You've seen this movie. It does not end well. Oh my goodness. We were just like, as soon as it happened again, Bono and I are sitting in the back. We just look at each other like, this is not good. This is so not good. So we all get out and we're changing this tire on the side of the road and everything. Anyway, we got it all taken care of. We get on the hotel. We eventually get, we then had to fly. We went back to the airport the next morning, flew out to Kisumu, which is a smaller town. From there, we had to drive on to Mahila, which is where Douglas's parents live. And so we get there on, so Thursday, so that was Friday night. It's dark out when we get to Douglas's parents' house, right? And oh man, like there was all kinds of craziness going on. But we got there. Praise God, we got there. And we went up to Douglas's parents' home. And when we came in, we all just went and sat down with them and everything. And I don't know how many of you got a chance to meet them when they were here. I think it was last year or maybe earlier in the year when they were here. Just two of the most amazing people you're ever going to meet in your entire life, right? And so we're just sitting down and we're talking and everything. Well, then it's time for dinner, right? And so, okay, we're gonna go do dinner, whatever dinner is in Kenya. We're about to make this happen, right? And so we go, and they've got chicken that is there, and which I came to realize earlier, like that dude was like clucking this morning, right? But here she is now, right? And so we've got the chicken and this thing called ugali, which is like, it's like, the best way I can describe it is it's kind of like Play-Doh that you're supposed to eat, right? I'll explain more about that on Wednesday. And so you come back Wednesday, I'll tell you more about ugali. But I didn't know what to do with that. There's a technique, like there's a way that you use this when you're eating and everything. And I can, like I said, I'll explain more about that Wednesday. But I didn't know nothing about it. So I'm just kind of putting stuff on my plate, right? And so we're eating, and it's good, and conversation is good. But we're all like dead tired, so tired from 3 days of travel and everything. So we get done eating. Everybody kind of gets cleaned up and everything. And then Douglas's father, Samuel, he's sitting down in front of us, and he gets out this little notebook, right? And all of a sudden, Douglas and his mom start talking to Samuel in Swahili. And basically, I realized that what they were telling him later is, don't be long time. Don't take a long time. They're already tired. Don't take a long time, right? Just be real short in whatever you're going to tell them. Don't take a long time. They're already tired, Dad. Don't do that, right? Well, he had some things he wanted to tell us. And didn't matter how tired we were, he was going to make sure we heard this that night. And so what I want to share with you today is what he told us that night. Because it carried us through this whole trip. And what I came to realize is that it is carrying me through more than just this trip. And I'm just crazy enough to believe that it might just carry you through more than just this sermon, even here today. What he said, the main idea of what he said, the very first thing that he got to us, he said, "What you are doing does not belong to you, but it belongs to the Lord." Amen. What you are doing does not belong to you, but it belongs to the Lord. And throughout the whole week, he kept coming back to this idea. He kept saying, "You are missionaries. You are missionaries." I guess the reason why that stuck with me was I didn't really consider myself a missionary going there, right? I mean, I'm a pastor, sure, I'll take that one. But missionaries are people who like they go, like they're living out there. Like it's not just a trip. Like it's like that's life, right? Like that, those are missionaries. Like I'm just here for a week, right? And but he kept saying, "You are missionaries. You are missionaries. You are doing, what you are doing does not belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. You are doing the work of God." It got me thinking about Matthew chapter 9. If you have your Bibles with you, I would encourage you to turn to Matthew 9, starting verse 35, and we'll have it up on the screen as well. And here Jesus is with his disciples, and it says in verse 35 that Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness, right? He was doing what Jesus does, right? That part so far, like nobody's surprised by any of that. That's just like, yeah, that's Jesus. He does that. He heals people. He delivers people. He proclaims good news. Like that's, yeah, of course, on we go. Verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." right? So I'm just imagining like being one of the disciples here, right? Like here Jesus is like, I mean, he's bringing in some harvest, right? Like with everything, salvation, and people are believing in him and people are getting healed. And I mean, he's feeding all these people and all this kind of stuff. And so I can imagine like Jesus tells his disciples, hey, pray for workers in you know, of the harvest, right? And so, oh yeah, Jesus, I'll get right on that, right? And so they're praying and they're probably praying to the Father that Jesus would be even more effective, right? For whoever they come across. And so here Jesus invites them into this prayer. But follow with me now into chapter 10, verse 1, because it says, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him, and he gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Watch it. Skip down to verse 7 now. It says, this is Jesus is talking to the disciples. He says, as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. I can only imagine what the disciples were thinking at this point, right? Like, I have to believe that when Jesus asked them to pray for workers, like, they were probably thinking about other people than them, right? They were probably just praying like, oh Lord, just help Jesus to do more of what he's already doing, right? And then Jesus calls his disciples together and say, oh, by the way, here's my authority. I want you to do the same things that I've been doing in all these towns and everything, and I'm sending you out to go do that. We are missionaries. The work that you are doing does not belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. It belonged first with Jesus. Like, he was the one who pioneered all this stuff. But it is not, he's not just holding on to it himself. Like, he is calling, raising us up that we might do his work with people around us even now. We are missionaries. This is part of what Samuel Wahoo was driving home to us the entire time we were there, is that it is not enough for us just to think that we can pray for people and that God will do something out there away from us. No, God is wanting to do his work through us. So while we were there, we were doing the work of God. We were not just doing the work that we were assigned to do, but we were doing the work that he sent us to do. We were doing the work that was his work that we were sent to do. So when Urbano and Bob were washing and treating the feet of 80 adults and children who have this condition called jiggers, right? These bugs, basically, that get under toenails and fingernails. And it's actually like, anyway, it's kind of gross. I won't get into all of it. But when they were washing those feet and treating those people, they were doing the Lord's work. When Jennifer was administering paperwork for the dentist who had pulled about 120 teeth in 2 days, she was doing the Lord's work. Right? When Ashley and her friend Allison were measuring the height of every person who came through that clinic, by the way, there were 2,000 people that came through in 2 days, they were doing the Lord's work. When we were all carrying sand and gravel and wood up that long hill for a new outhouse to be built up where there's some staff from the hospital that live on the property, and they needed a new outhouse, and so we were given the responsibility of taking that big pile of sand, and you can barely see the gravel over Urbano, or under Urbano's armpit there. But our responsibility was to take all of that a little more than a quarter of a mile up a hill so that they'd be able to lay the foundation and put up the bricks and everything there. When we were doing that, we were doing the Lord's work. But where have we been sent, right? We may or may not ever get to Kenya. We may or may not ever have to help out with a medical clinic. We may or may not ever have to help haul materials for an outhouse and, you know, out in somewhere. But what is the Lord's work around you? What is it that the Lord is desiring to do around you? What is it that God is wanting to do in and through your life that does not just belong to you, but belongs to Him? It's His work. Where is it that you are missionaries? Right? It happens even with the church, right? We are missionaries even here as we are involved in ministry in different ways, as we are serving in whatever capacity that we can. Like we are not just doing things that make us happy. We are doing the Lord's work, even in our homes, right? When we are with our families and we are sharing God's word and we're sharing what God is doing in our lives, like when we are testifying of God's goodness, when we are helping our children to wrestle with ideas of faith and to know what it is to have a faith of their own, like that is not just our job as parents. That is the Lord's work that we are able to join in on, even in your work situation, whatever it is and whatever that might look like. Like the strength that you have, God has given you, and the people that are around you, like God loves them and He has a word for them as well. And so we need to recognize that that work is not just our work. It's not just our paycheck. Like that is the Lord's work. And so we need to be about it as if it is the Lord's work, right? Because after all, it is not ours alone. We are simply missionaries that have been sent to be a part of a body of believers, to raise up children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, to be a part of a family that is making God and a relationship with Jesus Christ priority. Like we are missionaries that are sent out into the workforce that we might accomplish kingdom goals for the Lord. We are missionaries, and the work that we are on does not only belong to us, but it belongs to the Lord. Now, so then, how are we to work? If we are doing the Lord's work, how are we to work? Well, this is where Samuel tried to keep it short. He moved through this as fast as he could, but there were five different things that he had mentioned for how we were supposed to work there in Kenya since we were doing the Lord's work. And the first one was, he said that when you do the Lord's work, work enthusiastically. Well, just so you know, we weren't always doing work that we really wanted to do, right? So I took this picture standing up on the hill, and they're at the bottom of the hill, and so they have a lot of ground to cover still. And I think this was actually the second day that we were carrying stuff up the hill. And after the first day, we were pretty much done with it, right? We were finished, and when we got there the second day, they were like, okay, well, like there's more sand and gravel to take, but we also have this wood that we need you to carry, and so just snatch that up. We're going up the hill with it. We weren't always doing work that we wanted to do, right? Like the clinic was cool. It was cool, right? I was actually in there with Jennifer for a little bit. Like that dentist did not play around, y'all. Like he brought in 10 people at a time, well, like one at a time, but in a group of 10, like he shot them up with the anesthetic or whatever like that, like in and out, in and out, in and out. Then they come in and homeboy he got his pliers there and pop right there, knocked that one out there, out the chair, next one in. Like that is only a slight exaggeration. Like seriously, like they were moving through these people and teeth were just flying everywhere. And, am I lying, Jennifer? Like, it was really, like, seriously, they were moving. And so Anyway, that stuff was like when you're part of that, you realize like, okay, like this is pain that people are dealing with. That so we're like making a daily difference in their lives by getting all this done. And that stuff is really, really interesting and everything. But I want you to know, they're carrying sand up a hill is only interesting for so long. It is. Eventually, it just feels like work. Right? But you don't have to be enthusiastic about what you're doing to be enthusiastic about what God is doing. And that's a very important distinction to make now. You don't have to be enthusiastic about what you're doing in order to recognize and to be enthusiastic about the fact that God is doing something in the middle of that stuff that you don't even like doing, right? So when you have that job that you just can't stand getting up for each day, you don't have to be enthusiastic about your job, but you ought to be enthusiastic about the fact that God is at work in your job even if you don't want to be there. Like, you might wake up in the morning and think to yourself, like, man, I just hope everybody else sleeps in for another 8 hours or so, right? Because I just don't feel like dealing with the family right now. Like, there's just so much drama in this house right now. Like, I can't even handle that. Like, you don't have to be enthusiastic about what you're going through, but you ought to be enthusiastic about the fact that God is at work in your family, even if you don't want to be sometimes, right? Like, we need to be enthusiastic because the work that we are doing is not our work, amen? Like we, this is more than just a theory. It's more than just an idea that oh, well, yes, of course. Like, the Sunday school answer is that it's all the Lord's work. Amen. Praise God. Kumbaya. All that kind of stuff. But if it is actually the Lord's work, then we got to look at this thing totally differently. Totally differently. Because then if it's the Lord's work, oh, my goodness, thank you, Lord. If it's the Lord's work, it don't matter what you think about it. If it's the Lord's work, it don't matter if you like it. Like, if it's his work and you're his servant, yes, sir, is really all you do, right? Like, you don't do it because you like it. You do it because you love the master. And if the master says that it pleases him, well, then please him. Like, it ain't about pleasing you. It's about pleasing him. So why don't we get enthusiastic about the fact that what we are doing actually makes a difference in the kingdom and actually makes a difference to God because it's his work. It's his work. So we need to be enthusiastic about that. I need to be enthusiastic about moving through this because I'm taking too long already. Brother Samuel then said that when you do the Lord's work, you need to work honestly, right? In other words, no shortcuts, right? You don't do it halfway. You give your whole self to it, right? You let your walk match your talk, right? But when you work honestly. Allow yourself to go fully into it, right? And actually hold true to that which you have been called to do. He then went on. The third one is he said that when you do the Lord's work, you need to expect good things to come from it. This is a hard one for us sometimes, particularly if we're doing things that we are not enthusiastic about. It can be hard for us to expect good things to come from it. But again, this is where we got to move beyond just the theory of the Sunday school answer of, yes, all the work is God's work, right? Well, if it is God's work, then we need to recognize who God is.
Yeah, that's it.
Come on now. Don't leave me now. Like, I've been waiting 3 weeks to be able to preach this sermon. Don't leave me now, right? If it's God's work, then we need to recognize who God is, right? And we need to recognize that God doesn't do anything poorly. God does not do anything halfway. It's not like God tried to do something and he was like, oh man, I can't really do that. When God does something, like, he goes all the way and he accomplishes good things. He created all that is. And what did he say about it? It's good. It's good. When we are doing the Lord's work, we ought to expect something good is coming from that. And church, I just want to testify real quick about the fact that there are good things that are coming from our investment in the Mahila Hospital, in the Trinity School, and all these things. Like for example, with the Trinity School, we got a chance to meet with Pastor Joe. Go ahead and put up the picture about the water well real quick. That's the well that was, remember, the well that was that was dedicated to Pastor John. So that water tower right there has water in it because of the well that was dug, that was dedicated to Pastor John, right? That's at the school there. God is doing good things in that school because of the investment that you have made in that school and in those students and in those leaders. Like good things are happening, and we ought to expect more to come as well. Even with the Mahila Hospital, like, there was medicine for the clinic for those of you that gave anything. Right? Whether it's a donated item or funding or prayer, whatever it was, I want you to know that this room right here that's stacked with medicine from wall to wall, they're actually inventorying all the medicine that came in, by the way. This is not the pharmacy. But all of that medicine was because of what you gave. Amen. It was all because of what you gave, right? People were able to come to a free clinic and get free medicine and go home and actually know the healing of God in their lives because of the way that you gave. I want you to know that when you gave, I hope you were expecting something good to come, because it did. It did. And there is more good to come as well. In fact, not only medicine for the clinic, but there's a water tower there as well. That tower right there. This church helped put that water tower right there. There's a well that they had, but they needed a place to be able to take the water up into the tower so that then all the water goes from the tower to the rest of the hospital. They got to put it up high so there's actually some water pressure, right? And so this congregation helped provide that water tower so that the rest of the hospital actually has water that they don't have to go down to the well and bring up themselves, right? Like, that's a good thing that you have been a part of. Even the hospital renovations. This is just a picture of the inside of the hospital. But I want you to know that there, a few years ago, like, you would not have been able to even get in the hospital like this. Like, it was tore up. It was not able to even function. They were not able to see patients. I want you to know right now they are a 24/7 hospital. There is always somebody there, right? They're providing services like dentistry and that kind of stuff. It is really awesome. And this is the one that really blew me away. In the last 2 years, they have not had a single mother or baby die in childbirth. That is huge, right? Because it is out in the middle of nowhere. I want you to know, like you might just sprain your ankle walking on the roads out there, let alone trying to drive somewhere, right? And the renovations that have happened there are because of the investment that you have made in this hospital. Like, this is a big deal. We have been expecting good things to come here in these towns, and it is happening. In fact, even in this this church here where I did some leadership training, in fact, they started to thank me for this keyboard. And when they started thanking me, I was like, praise God, I have no idea what you're talking about, right? Years ago, before I even knew anything about Mahila or was pastoring here or anything like that, this congregation took that keyboard to Kenya with them and donated it to this church. And they've been using that keyboard for I don't even know how many years now. But I want you to know that is the extent of their instrumentation on Sunday morning. That's everything they have. And they love it. They love it. Like they I'm telling you, like, the guy who was playing it and everything, like, he was thanking me. The elder was thanking me. The pastor was thanking me. And I'm just like, I don't even know what you're talking about, but you're welcome. All right? You're just welcome. You're just welcome. God is doing good things through your investment in other people, and I just want to encourage you with that. But we shouldn't just expect good things in Kenya, right? If God can do it there, why can't he do it here? He's the same God in both places. Like, why can't we just trust him to do it in our lives as well, right? We've got to expect something good, and I got to expect to move on through here. The fourth thing then is when you do the Lord's work, you got to work with endurance, right? The work is going to get tough. But on the other side of that tough work, there is a reward that is coming to each of us, right? If we don't have the endurance to get through what is tough, we're never going to get to the reward on the other side. We've got to work with endurance. And then finally, he said, when you do the Lord's work, you should enjoy it. You should enjoy it, right? Christians ought to be the happiest people on earth. Amen. Like, we ought to be the happiest people. Like people ought to be looking at us like thinking, man, why are you so stinking happy? Like, it's obnoxious. Can you just stop it, right? Like, we ought to be that kind of happy. I want to read for you out of Luke chapter 10. Verse 17, so before we were talking about how Jesus sent out the 12, but then he also sent out the 72 disciples, right? And toward the middle there of chapter 10, verse 17, says the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Like, when they came back, they were stoked, right? Like, because God was doing amazing things through them. Like, Jesus sent them out to heal people and to cast out demons and all this kind of stuff. And God actually did that through them. He actually did that through them. I want you to know right now, church, when we have the faith to do what God is calling us to do, it is so much fun. I'm just telling you right now. I can tell you right now. When Charlie Flanagan had the conversation about the spine being healed and everything like that, I guarantee you he had a smile on his face. And I know he did when he was typing out that email to all of us. Like, I could read the smile on his face. It is so much fun to see God do impossible things. We ought to be enjoying the Lord's work because he's doing stuff that we can't do on our own. We ought to be enjoying this thing. And we ought to be asking ourselves, if we aren't enjoying it, what's wrong with us? Because it's the Lord's work. And he's faithful to do his work. And his work is always going to be good. And we ought to expect that work to be good. And so if he's doing a good work, why aren't we enjoying it? Right? He had a good word for us, Brother Samuel did. You know, one thing I learned when I was in Kenya is that there is no difference between that which is sacred and that which is common, right? I led a couple of leadership conferences, and that seemed very sacred, right? Because I'm with pastors and all this kind of stuff. It was really, really powerful. Carrying gravel up a hill did not seem very sacred, right? It did not seem like holy work, right? But I came to realize that there is no difference between that which is sacred and that which is common. Everything is sacred. Everything is holy work. Everything is an opportunity for God to be at work, not only in our lives, but through our lives to people around us. Like, everything is an opportunity for God's work to be done. God is at work in everything. And I need to wake up to see what his Holy Spirit is leading me into. Right? I want to invite the worship team to come on back up here. Because church, we all need to wake up to what God is leading us into. We are missionaries. Amen? We are missionaries. The work that we think that is ours is not ours. It is his. And no matter how common that work might seem, no matter how mundane it might feel sometimes, no matter how much we might just think, oh Lord, can we just find somebody else to do this, right? God is at work in that, and God is at work in you. You are missionaries, and the work that you are doing does not belong to you alone. It belongs to the Lord. This morning, as we sing, I want to encourage you to seek God's voice in the work that He is wanting to accomplish through you. What is it that God is revealing to you is not just common work, but that He is actually wanting to do something miraculous through. How is it that God is wanting to reinforce to you that you are not just you're not just a family member, you're not just a coworker, you're not just a church member, but you are one who is accomplishing the work of God in the places of God everywhere where you are. Like, what would it look like for you to be a missionary in every aspect of your life? What would it look like for you to be a missionary at home? What would it look like for you to be a missionary in your job site? What would it look like for you to be a missionary even here in this building and with these people? Like, what would it look like for you to be a missionary? And are you willing to say yes to Him and yes to the mission, yes to the Lord's work, and yes to being enthusiastic about it, even if you're not all that enthusiastic about it? Why don't you stand with me? We're going to sing and worship together.